Or go to give to WBAI.org online or text to donate, texting WBAI on your smartphone to the number 41444. And it is now 7 p.m. Stay tuned for Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg coming up.
And this is For the New Year, where it's 2020 and we have perfect sight. This is Building Bridges. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. And later on, Spectrum Strikers keep on keeping on.
Oh, indeed they do. But first, no war on Iran.
Come, you masters of war, you that build all the guns, you that build the death planes, you that build the big bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind desks, we just want you to know we can see through your masks. You that never done nothing to destroy, you play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes, and you turn and run further when the fast bullets fly. Come, you master,
seize the revolutionary time. Seize the revolutionary time. Seize the revolutionary time. Seize the revolutionary time. Seize the revolutionary time.
Not just the name of this jam.
Why are you speaking about the war, Dr. King? Why are you joining the voices of dissent? Peace and civil rights don't mix, they say. Peace and civil rights don't mix, they say. Peace and civil rights don't mix, they say.
You fasten the trigger.
Endless war! Shut it down! The whole damn system!
Shut it down!
The whole damn system!
Shut it down!
The whole damn system!
Shut it down!
Shut it down!
Shut it down!
Well, Ken, it looks like we've arrived at the seat of the demonstration. I can see the placards all out against another U.S. war. Anti-war and social justice groups and individuals are gathering on West 46th Street and Broadway to say hell no to another war, this time stimulated by the extrajudicial killing of General Soleimani by the Trump administration. Let's join the protest.
Okay, I appreciate that. My name is Eugene. I'm with the Answer Coalition. And on behalf of all the groups and everyone who's helped bring this together, I want to welcome you out here to say that it is crucially important for us to be here as the Trump administration and its enablers in Congress are doing everything they possibly can to escalate what has already been a completely disastrous multi-decade attempt at invasions, coups, assassinations, wars. We've seen it all. Trillions of dollars have been spent, and all that has been wrought is death and destruction, and that must end now. We know that there is an allegation that's out there that, oh, well, this person was behind thousands of U.S. troops being killed. What were those U.S. troops there in the first place for? It was the United States that illegally invaded and bombed Iraq and overthrew a government. It was the United States that established a colonial regime and occupation. It was the United States that set the stage through those actions for the rise of ISIS. It's the United States that destabilized neighboring countries. It's the government in Washington. It's the war makers in the White House and Congress that really have the blood on their hands. You want to end the destabilization, you need to end the U.S. intervention in the Middle East. We don't have billions of dollars to control big media companies. So the only way that we can get our voice out is to come out at demonstrations like this, to raise our voice, to move our feet, to educate those around us who maybe don't know or might be confused, because we have to build a movement of people in this country that is independent of any political force, but is 100% focused on getting U.S. troops out of the Middle East now. I want to bring up Bill Doyes from Struggle La Lucha. We're here today to stop a war. The murder of General Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi Mohandas was a cowardly sneak attack on a two countries on which the United States has not declared war. It is a crime against peace and humanity in a place where the United States military has no right to be. And it is a deliberate attempt to unleash another war of unimaginable proportions. The U.S. wars in Iraq were disasters. The war in Syria were disasters. But not for the oil companies. It was the war in Iraq that made profitable the fracking boom that is poisoning the air, land, and water across this country. It created an asset price bubble, and now that bubble has collapsed. And the fracking industry runs the Trump White House. Mike Pompeo was called the congressman from Koch Industries when he was in Congress. They were willing to send more troops to die, to kill millions over there, to bail out the fracking industry and the banks who are facing a loss of hundreds of billions of dollars if those wells go bust. They are willing to kill millions to make profitable the East Mediterranean pipeline and the U.S.-Israeli plan to steal Palestinian gas and sell it in Europe. And, of course, they want to rescue the Saudi Aramco public offering IPO. This is about profit. This is about money, but not for the people. So they will have an excuse to steal more money from our hospitals, our schools, our communities, our housing, and put it into the pockets of the war machine. The Democrats are not going to stop them. There's only one force that can stop them, and that is the people. We cannot let them do this again, because they're going to keep going until World War III unless we stop them. They say they're fighting terrorism, but in fact, Iran and its allies in Syria and Lebanon have been on the front lines of the war against ISIS and Al-Qaeda. It was General Soleimani who defeated ISIS, not Donald Trump. So we need to demand to get every single U.S. soldier, every single U.S. ship, every single U.S. tank and plane and CIA agent out of the so-called Middle East and North Africa. Bring all the troops home and shut down all the bases. And when I say shut down all the bases, I include that giant monstrous base that sits on the land of occupied Palestine and is called Israel. Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
End all aid to Israel!
End all aid to Israel!
Trump is a murderer!
Trump is a murderer!
No war for big oil profits! Bring the troops home!
No
war for oil profits! Bring the troops home! Now is the time for us to be clear. I'm clear. I want to know if you're clear that we're going to commit here today not to let this just be a one day, not a moment, but a movement.
Woo!
Next to speak, I want to be Kyla from the Party for Socialism and Liberation.
Woo! It is so wonderful.
wonderful to see so many different people from different ages, different backgrounds, from all parts of the world and walks of life come together and stand against another war.
That's right.
I know you all know that $738 billion were approved to expand the military budget. 180 House Democrats joined in passing that budget.
Right.
Right. Boo. Boo them all, because New York State Senator Chuck Schumer said the budget will invest in middle class priorities. Endless war is not a priority. 700,000 people will lose food stamps. That's a priority.
Right.
There are 40,000 homeless veterans. That's a priority.
Right.
114,000 homeless students in New York. That's a priority.
Right.
Medicare for all for 200 million people. That's a priority.
Right.
Free college for 21 million students. That's a priority.
Right.
Planned Parenthood and not overturning Roe versus Wade. That's a priority for women.
Right.
Reducing fossil fuel emissions and having clean energy, that's a priority for Americans.
Yeah.
Investing in clean water for Flint and Newark, that's a priority.
Yeah.
The Democrats are delusional and they are not the resistance. Yesterday, one of my students, I'm a public school teacher, one of my students asked me about the draft. They're like, Miss, is there going to be a draft?
No.
He's an 18-year-old student of color. He's worried about these things. I teach at a transfer school. My students are 17 to 21. And sometimes the military is the only way that they are able to survive under this system so that they can help out their families. They appeal to free college and all these things for our young people who are suffering and see no other way out. The rich send other people's kids to die. Meanwhile, they reap all the rewards. This is not our war. It's not our priority. Our battle, like other people said before me, is against the rich. The net worth of the 500 richest people in the world increased by over $1 trillion. That's more, actually, than the military budget. Iran is not the enemy. The New York Times is saying Iran vows revenge. Them painting Iran like the bad guy. The United States is actually a terrorist country.
Yeah.
Terrorizing the rest of the world. Every single right to defend its sovereignty, to defend the popular will of the people. The U.S. government does not represent the will of the Americans. Look at us here.
That's right.
We're all out here. They're not representing us.
That's right.
Trump called himself an anti-war president. That's how he ran to win the hearts and minds of so many people. And it's a lie, because he's sending 3,000 people to fight another war that we don't care about.
Shame.
De Blasio here in New York is amping up militarization. 500 new cops are going to be harassing our young people on the train for not having 275. NYCHA housing is crumbling and being sold to the highest bidder. So there's no such thing as neutrality anymore.
That's right.
This is a war. It's a war against working people and the poor all over the world.
That's right.
And it's our job to not only denounce the corporate media, but also to smash capitalism and end imperialism. That's the only way we're going to fight and we're going to win. So pick a side, fight, and bring more people with you, because we need all the help we can get from everyone.
They say more, we say
no more.
They say more. A lot of media, a lot of social media here. For those in the U.S. military who may see this, you only have one moral choice right now, and that is to refuse to fight, to resist your orders, to lay down their arms. This is an illegal and immoral action, and if you turn against the war machine, we will stand with you. In that vein, next I want to bring up someone who was a GI resistor against the war in Vietnam, who's been fighting these imperialist wars ever since, Carl Dix of Refused Fascism and the Revolutionary Communist Party.
Alright. We are out here today, and people are out all across the country saying no war with Iran and U.S. out of the Middle East. We got to stay in the streets. It's got to be sustained, and it has to work to solve the underlying problems that's causing this. The tensions that this assassination and war crime grew out of and are intensifying underscored two crucial realities. The first is that we got to get rid of the American global empire and do it in the only way that's really possible. And it's going to take an actual revolution to do that. And that's something that I've been working on my whole life and that the Revolutionary Communist Party is getting ready for. The other is that right now we got to drive this fascist Trump Pence regime from office. Those two things. I mean, because look, they tried to justify this targeted assassination of Soleimani by saying he had the blood of, what, say, 500 Americans on his hands? Who is the real bloody-jawed beast? It is the U.S. global empire that has the blood of hundreds of thousands of Iraqis, probably several million Iranians, dating back from the 1953 coup that put the Shah in power in Iran, and on top of countless millions around the world. That's the bloody jawed monster. That who needs to be taken down. I was in the military back during the Vietnam War. They gave me orders to go to Vietnam to be part of a war to suppress the liberation struggle of the Vietnamese people. I told them, hell no, I won't go. Right. It was the right thing to do then, and it's the right thing to do now. I mean, who are these people that they're saying Suleiman has their blood on their hands? They're the U.S. soldiers who were part of a war to tighten the U.S. stranglehold on that part of the world by slaughtering people, or they were mercenaries who were doing it for some money. They shouldn't have been there in the first place. That's the deal on that. And we need soldiers today who do what I did back in the 1960s. Say hell no to their global wars for empire. I want to close this down by saying driving out the Trump-Pence regime is an important part of what you need to do. Whether you agree with me on the need for revolution or not, but if you ain't ready for revolution, we still got to drive this regime out. And we got to meet more often in the streets.
That's right.
Because we protested at the start of the Iraq War in 2003, but we didn't stay in the streets. We got to do that. We got to learn from Puerto Rico. We got to learn from Hong Kong. We got to learn from people all around the world who take to the streets not for one day, not once a month, or even once a week. They go in the streets and they stay in the streets.
That's right.
And they stay in the streets until their regimes are brought down. We need to stay in the streets until the Trump-Pence regime is removed from office. And I encourage you to join me in doing that as part of getting ready and in position to make an actual revolution,
right,
to get rid of this global empire once and for all and end these wars. American lives are not more important than other people's lives. And our orientation should be humanity first,
right,
not America first.
That's right.
Do it with me. Humanity first, not America first.
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 That is a very, very welcome sentiment, because we also can't forget that our planet, quite frankly, is under existential crisis right now. Just look at what's happening in Australia. The skies have been turned red. 500,000 animals have been wiped out and gone extinct. That if humanity doesn't come together and stop this imperialist fossil fuel war machine, just massive, I don't even know what to call it at this point, globe-destroying octopus, I guess, that we're all facing unbelievable and existential dread. So thank you again. And I think it's crucially important that we lift up the voices of those who remain incarcerated, because they took actions around the period of the Vietnam War in the 1970s to try to stop this imperialist war machine at an earlier time. So we also say free all political prisoners as well.
Not their wars! Fight the rich, not their wars! Fight the rich, not their wars!
Well, I want to let you know that
you aren't, we aren't alone, that in fact, not only, well, I guess 72 including us, there are 71 other cities in the U.S. demonstrating today. Everywhere from Maine to Minneapolis to Birmingham, Alabama. I don't have it all in front of me. Those are just some I mentioned off the top of my head. But tell everyone you know, everywhere they live, that the struggle is on and that we will not stop until all the troops are out. And out now. We'll quickly bring up the folks from the International League for People's Struggle.
Good afternoon, comrades. My name is Rafael, and I'm representing the International League of People's Struggle, which is an alliance worldwide of different organizations that are resisting U.S. imperialism all over the world. My organization is New York Boricua Resistance, and in case you don't know, Puerto Ricans are one of the most overrepresented groups in the U.S. military. And the reason for that is directly linked to our colonial status. Because if you do not give people opportunities, they are going to be forced to sign up for war. And that is happening to way too many people in our communities, where they have to sign up to join the military to possibly die just to go to college, just to get health care, just to get services. This is wrong. The U.S. has always had interest in Iran and in Iraq. Back in 1953, they organized the coup, the CIA organized the coup of the then democratically elected president of Iran. Do you know why they organized that coup? Because he had nationalized the oil industry and said that Britain could no longer control their oil supplies, so that the U.S. could no longer control their oil supplies, and so that the Iranian people had the right to self-determination. Support the right to other people's self-determination. They want to stop it because they want to control everything and everyone and all the resources. So today we stand in solidarity with the people of Iran. We say no to war. We say no to any more wars of U.S. imperialism and aggression anywhere else in the world. From Iran to Palestine to the Philippines, stop the U.S. war machine. USA is a Filipino progressive anti-imperialist alliance of organizations all across the world, not only in the Philippines, but across the Filipino diaspora. And we are here to say, down with U.S. imperialism, down with U.S. levels of aggression, and down with any interference and intervention in the national sovereignty of countries all over the world. We understand that the airstrike and all military attacks in Iran are an attack on the people's sovereignty and of U.S. and international law, that this U.S. military aggression is fueled by the drive to expand control of oil and all other resources just to boost the profit. U.S. military-industrial complex. This is not a warning. This is a desperate attempt on behalf of the warmongering government that are facing challenges of a heavy election year in the face of an ongoing impeachment campaign. This is an attempt to consolidate the support of U.S. monopoly capitalists of the ruling class because they have nothing left. So as with all imperialist wars, the ones being launched and planned by the U.S. regime, by the Trump regime, will victimize the working class, the working people, and its target countries from Iran to the Philippines, and use American youth from working class backgrounds here as fodder for its imperialist agenda. So therefore, we call on all people, Filipinos here, from the U.S. to the Philippines, all people who stand against the imperialist agenda, its economic and military agenda, to fight the U.S. now. And our unity is important now more than ever. Thank you.
Y'all ready to march a little bit out here? I said, are y'all ready to march out here? I said, are y'all ready to march out here?
Yeah. What do we do? Trump is killing by the hour. What do we do? Trump is killing by the hour. What do we do?
More.
We say no more.
They say more.
They say more.
protesters get ready to march amidst this enormity of commercial vulgarity that is Times Square, which abounds with every contradiction I can think of. There we stand in proximity to tax the rich, house the poor, a sign that is really memorable for a lot of what the protesters here have said, which is money for services and people, not for war. It seems to me that there has been a wonderful, wonderful outpouring of young people here, a very diverse outpouring, but perhaps it's still the old guard that managed to put the demonstration very quickly together. And as part of the old guard, but always with a vibrant, youthful spirit, Leslie Kagan, your sentiments, your thoughts about how we could possibly be, or maybe aren't we always in this administration and regime on the precipice or launching another war?
Yeah, it's a really challenging moment that we're in, because this threat of war, it's more than a threat. We, as you said, we're on the precipice of an escalation of a war that's been going on for 18 years. Part of the reality is that there has been an outrageous war that has been going on for at least 18 years. In Iraq, in Afghanistan, the whole region has been under, either actual military action or threats of escalating actions. And what Trump did the other night to assassinate a leader of another nation, it just puts not only that region, but the whole world on another footing. The possibility of a major military escalation lurks out there. So our job, of course, is to try and prevent that from happening and to try and once and for all end these endless wars in the Middle East. I don't know. I wish I had a formula. I wish I had the recipe for how we could do that. What I do know is that massive numbers of people have to be in motion, whether that's marching and rallying, and of course we have to do that, putting direct pressure on Congress to make sure funding doesn't go into this war, this new war, to use whatever vehicles are and avenues are open to us to put pressure on the U.S. government, to take advantage of whatever cracks there might be, as little as they might be now, to make those bigger cracks in Washington. You know, there's already a lot of sentiment against Trump in this country. Understandably, rightly placed sentiment against him. It seems to me this is just another indictment. It should be another indictment. There should be another articles of impeachment for what he's done in terms of bringing the whole world that much closer to a horrendous military nightmare. I don't know what else to call it.
Let me just interrupt you while the focus is rightfully on Trump. But the Democratic Party has been seriously remiss at a condemnation, minimally, of an extrajudicial killing, which has now consistently been the pattern in the international arena.
Now, absolutely. The Congress, and the Congress includes the Democrats, have not only been remiss, they recently passed the largest military budget in human history. Right? They keep feeding more and more, and the Democrats voted for it, just like the Republicans did. They keep feeding more and more resources into these endless wars. It has got to stop, as you were saying before. People here today are making some of those connections. We need those. Those are our tax dollars. We need them put to use to meet basic needs for housing, for healthcare, for education. We all know what this country has done to gut those basic social needs. They all need to be rebuilt and taken out of private hands and put back into the public arena, but with a whole new kind of leadership at every level of policymaking. So the task is immense. It's not just about ending one war or one on potential escalation of a war. The whole system is rotten, and we've known that for a long time. So all I was saying is that I think that our ability to actually deal with this new escalation is tied to our ability to really bring the social movements together, to really build a unified, multi-issue, multi-generational, intersectional, if you will, movement to say enough is enough. Let's stop this from getting out of hand. Let's end the endless wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Let's reconfigure this country's foreign policy. Let's deal with the climate crisis. Let's deal with the crisis of racism and misogyny in this country. Let's get serious about that. The first step is to make sure that this new threat of war is stopped as quickly as humanly possible.
Leslie Kagan, I think we're about to be besieged by comic book characters in Times Square. I don't even see Wonder Woman. Otherwise, I'd say, okay, let's go join the marchers. Thank you for doing what you do all these many, many, many years.
Well, thank you. And we, again, thank WBAI for always being there and giving a place for the voices of people to be heard. So I want to thank you guys in particular, but WBAI, and encourage listeners to make those pledges.
Number one terrorist, U.S. imperialist. Number one terrorist, U.S. imperialist. Number one terrorist,
U.S.
Endless war.
Shut it down.
The whole damn system.
Shut it down.
Endless war.
Shut it down.
The whole damn system.
Shut it down.
Trump's lies.
Shut it down.
Imperialism.
Shut it down.
Endless war.
Shut it down.
What's disgusting?
Union busting.
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 What's disgusting? Well, I think we've made our segue from no war in the Middle East to what's disgusting? Union busting. Spectrum cable strikers are at their 3-year mark, and they are on the move to form a public option to take over the Spectrum cable franchise. Or let's put it this way, members of the city council are threatening to reject a renewal of Charter Spectrum's profitable municipal franchise agreement if the company does not sign a contract with 1,800 members of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Union Local 3, who have been on strike against the cable giant for nearly 3 years. We've hit the 1,000-day mark. And we are pleased to have back, although I wish it was in a more celebratory mood for the new year, but we're going to have to make it that way. Troy Walcott, Local 3, IBEW shop steward and striking Spectrum technician. Ray Reyes, striking Spectrum technician. And we are joined by New York City Council member Rory Lachman, who I hope can do the kind of pressuring that the city council could do to make Spectrum heal for a change. And I thank the three of you for joining us. And why don't we begin with, it's been 1,000 days, a lot to summarize, but Troy Walcott, give us the summary so we can catch our listeners up to where we are today and what our purpose is in supporting and how we're going to support our striking brothers and sisters.
Thank you very much, Mimi. A brief synopsis. In 2016, I believe it was when Spectrum came in at a quiet time, won a cable, and it was somewhere during that time where they decided to go on attack for the union. So in 2017, what the company decided to do is launch their all-out assault. It was never a negotiation. What they came in to do was look to take away our most valuable asset, which is our ability to move forward within the company, change of work rules, and then also our benefits and our retirement plan. So at that point in time, we had no choice but to go out to protect ourselves and our jobs and to fight for everyone else. And from there, they move forward with trying to make a structural change, not only to us, but the entire union, with an attempt now to eradicate our union and decertify us totally.
The decertification is when they're trying to get enough votes to say that they want the union out of the shops, so that way they can totally dismantle.
Who's the they? Spectrum?
Yeah, of course. Spectrum Management, you know, the evil corporation, as it were. They want to totally decertify the union, get the union out of there so that they can, I mean, they've dismantled us very much so far, but if the union gets out of there, it'll be horrible. I can't even begin to describe how the workers will suffer without a union.
And it's not just that it's us. What they're doing is attaching the structure of a union in total. So this is something that's going to reverberate through the entire workforce throughout New York City, because it's not like it was a negotiation where we wanted one thing, they didn't want to give it to us. It was a blatant attack where they're going after destruction of the union specifically. You have to figure what they did was set up a way that they can hire outside workers who were never part of a union to come in and then systematically vote out a union that was in place. If that can happen to us, imagine what can happen throughout the rest of the city.
The gentleman they're using is Mr. Cranberry. He was a supervisor up until, literally a week or two before he decided, you know what, I'm going to, I don't want the union around. So then he changed his title, and then he got a lawyer who happened to be related to a company lawyer, and he decided he wanted to start the decertification process. And then Spectrum wants us to believe that they had nothing to do with it.
Right.
It's pretty.
You're saying this is a setup.
1,000%. 1,000%. From every angle.
So, Troy, tell us about this demonstration you had on the steps of City Hall 2 days before Christmas.
So going through this strike, a lot of people, because you haven't heard of it, think that it's over or people have moved on, but that's not the case. Day by day, people are continuing to lose homes. Day by day, people are continuing to lose medical coverage. It's hard to keep people working, provide for their families, and that's especially harder once it gets time for the holidays. Holidays are hard enough when people feel alone, but to have this loneliness with all that pressure makes it even worse. So it's a core group of people, and we continue to fight and stay together and talk to each other. And we decided to bring ourselves together as rank and file and reach out to have some type of demonstration to let people know we're still out here. We're still fighting. We're trying to do the right thing, not only for us, but for the entire working force of New York City. And we reached out to our elected official to ask them to come and support us. We were very afraid that no one would actually come out because we're so alone. It feels like no one's out there supporting us. It feels like no one has our back. And we were so thankful that when we came out there, there were elected officials that took the time out to come support us and speak it on behalf. And
The other unions came out too. It was very nice.
Yes.
Other unions sent representatives. And like I said, it's one thing you think, you're out there on your own, climbing up the hill by yourself, and all of a sudden you realize some people got your back. It makes the journey a little more bearable.
And I know one of the people that has your back, it would seem, who said 1,000 days of injustice, 1,000 days of unfairness, 1,000 days of disrespect, said Council Member Rory Lachman. Men and women who live in his district, my district, are struggling to put food on the table, to clothe their children, to participate in life just like we do. Well, Council Member, you finish those statements. You tell us what brought you to this support in this union town where it should be so of these workers who have been absolutely stalwart as members of the labor community to support their rights, 1,000 days and counting. Thank you for joining us, Council Member. Your support for these workers?
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be on the show and good to hear from the guys. And you say New York City is a union town, and that's true. But for me, this is a lot more intimate than that. Electchester, which is the headquarters of Local 3, which was founded by Harry Van Arsdale Jr., is a neighborhood in my district with thousands of Local 3 workers, including many of the folks who are on strike. So this is a labor issue. This is a workers' issue. This is an issue that reflects the challenges and struggles that working people have against corporate America. But these are my constituents. These are my neighbors. These are my friends. I'm sitting in my car doing this interview, probably about 10 blocks from Alec Chester, and I'm going to go into a meeting at Holy Family Church where many of the folks who are on strike are members of that church. And so it's a very, very painful experience for our community. And, you know, it's something different to stand in the steps of City Hall and talk about a struggle for working people in the abstract. And Lord knows I've been on many picket lines and spoken at many rallies, but to see people who I know, to see the stores where I know that they shop who are suffering because of the loss of income, it's just personally very painful. And to think about the Christmas and the holidays that these individuals and their families just had, it really brings home what it is that we're fighting about, what they're fighting for, what we're supporting. It is just the right of regular people to live in dignity, to live with respect and with fairness and with economic security. This is not an ordinary labor dispute. At any point in time in New York City, there are labor disputes going on. It's part of the push and pull, the give and take of labor and management. And 99.9 times out of 100, there's a resolution. The labor movement in New York City, labor leaders like Chris Erickson at Local 3, are tough and zealous in standing up for their members, but they're fair. They're pragmatic. They want their members to work. And a deal is almost always reached. This is not about that. This is, as I forget which one of the guys mentioned this, this is about a corporation that is not from New York, that is anti-union, trying to break Local 3, trying to break its union members so that they can operate with impunity and to make a fortune for their executives and their shareholders off the backs of my constituents. And I am personally and deeply outraged by it.
So, Troy, in terms of the rally, I know one of the demands has to do with the taking away of the franchise agreement from cable Spectrum Cable. Tell us about that and whether that's possible and how that could be done.
It's absolutely possible, but the question is are the people who say they fight for progressive change and systematic change and holding up for rights of workers, are they going to be willing to do it? See, the franchises for the cable system for Spectrum is up this year in 2020. But the thing is, it never should have gotten this far. It never should have been where in a union town like New York City, it took 3 years to get to the point where we have to wait for the expiration of a franchise for people to stand up and say, this is not right. These workers are standing out of work, fighting for every one of us, and we're waiting to 2024 to happen. But this is the year, time to put the money where your mouth is, if these people are going to actually stand out for us, like the people who have supported us from the beginning. Like, I want to thank Rory for, he's been there from the very beginning for us, but everybody else who we haven't seen, everybody else who we've seen for a picture but haven't seen since, are they going to stand up for us and now say that, okay, the franchise have things in it and it's going to now be rewritten for the city for going forward? Are we going to write things into this franchise that keeps corporations like this, not just Spectrum, any corporation, from coming in and attacking the union structure that we have in the city that built us up to be the great city that we are?
Yeah, we're hoping that the city council will step up and put workers' rights in there that are guaranteed. You know, we have 40 years of, I wouldn't say tranquility, but we had 40 years of continuity. And then this, they come from out of town, they come in and they completely don't want to negotiate on one thing. You know, normal negotiation, yeah, you give a little here, you get a little there. They agreed to literally nothing. Mm. Absolutely nothing.
Rory, council member,
yeah,
go ahead, please.
For your listeners, let me just explain. So Spectrum operates pursuant to a franchise, a license of sorts, a permission for the city of New York to operate a cable system. And that's a contract. And that contract expires in July of 2020. In order for the city to put out a request for proposals for companies that want to compete for that franchise and then to ultimately award that franchise to someone, the administration needs permission from City Council. And this is our first opportunity at the council. We've had hearings. We've pressed Spectrum. We had one hearing where I tried to get the Spectrum representatives to try to explain how a guy who was a part of management is now all of a sudden part of a union seeking to decertify Local 3. But this is our first opportunity to really use the leverage that the city has, that the city council has, to say if Spectrum is not going to do the right thing by its workers, if Spectrum is if the city is not willing to build into its franchise agreement provisions to ensure for fair wages and respect for collective bargaining, then we, the council, are not going to give the administration the authority that it seeks to go out and renew the not just Spectrum's contract, but any contract. And so the next 6 months are going to be really critical. This is the, you know, at the rally, in addition to what you quoted me as saying, I also said there's going to be a reckoning. There's a reckoning coming where finally the council is going to have the ability to use its power on behalf of these striking workers. And let me just say one other thing. You know, I've been very disappointed in the administration's unwillingness to use the leverage that it has. You know, Local 3 did a great job of documenting how Spectrum was using out-of-state contractors to replace these Spectrum workers in violation of the franchise agreement. Controller Stringer came out with a report not too long ago about how Spectrum is failing to provide broadband to, I think, something like a million New Yorkers. So there are tools at the administration's disposal that it could have used to get Spectrum to treat its workforce fairly, and it hasn't done so. And now the ball is going to be in the council's court.
And I just want to let our listeners know that we're speaking with the city council member Rory Lentzman and Ray Reyes, striking Spectrum technician Troy Walcott, Local 3 IBEW shop steward, and striking Spectrum technician 1,000 days. And I wish I didn't say counting, but we still are. Council member, I'm still trying to grapple with. It was one of the really vibrant demonstrations that I had been to, I guess, probably 2 years ago now, where folks marched over the Brooklyn Bridge, and the mayor spoke and spoke eloquently and threateningly to Spectrum and the franchise to use the city's power and righteousness in support of the working class to make Spectrum toe the line to enter into a fair contract. And Cuomo was there, the governor. Why are they so recalcitrant in using that power to do the right thing and tell Spectrum you don't get the franchise unless there is a meaningful, righteous contract with these striking brothers and sisters? What's going on?
You know, the governor's been a real ally in this and really taking this at the state level to the Public Service Commission and using leverage there. And at one point, I think Spectrum Charter more broadly was in danger of losing its state franchise or its state license to operate. And I think he pushed that to the limit of the power that he's got. This is fundamentally a city issue. I don't know why the mayor hasn't gone all out on behalf of Local 3 and its members. I don't know. I always wonder why elected officials, politicians who've been given power and leverage don't use it, or use it for one group and not another, or use it in one circumstance and not another. I'm not, you know, going to hide my disappointment from you over the way the administration has handled this. And my office has had countless conversations with the administration, with the Department of Information and Technology, DOIT, which kind of oversees the franchise for the administration. If you care about workers' rights, if you care about your constituents, if you care about the labor movement, because you know, like has been said in this interview, this is about these guys and men and women, but it's also a broader issue. I don't know why you wouldn't use every tool in your toolbox to do the right thing for these workers. I'm hopeful. Look, I'm one of 51 council members. Local 3 has some terrific allies on the city council. I don't want to leave anyone out, but Councilmember Barry Gaudencia, Councilmember Francisco Moyer, who chairs the subcommittee on zoning and franchises, through which the mayor's request for permission to negotiate the next charter, franchise agreement will have to go through. But I'm hopeful that the council, now that it's going to have that leverage, is going to use it. Why have it? Why run for office? Why be a public official if you're not going to use the power that you've got to do the right thing for your people?
So, council member, what can the council do? What must they do? And, of course, you've got a faithful group of listeners here who are pro-labor, pro-union, and they're going to respond to whatever you tell us to do to put that pressure on and to see it through the council. And what's the it exactly that can happen now with the support of people like you and the council to, again, make Spectrum either a put up or shut up?
The council must insist that the resolution that it passes authorizing the city to issue an RFP, a request for proposal, to kick off the process for how the next franchise will be awarded, that it include provisions for protecting the franchisees' workers, to recognize and respect the right to collectively bargain, and to make it a condition of that franchise that failure to do so can result in a revocation of that franchise agreement, and also that past evidence of an applicant to hold this incredibly valuable franchise, past evidence that they have committed unfair labor practices, that they have refused to collectively bargain in good faith, that they have violated prior franchise agreements, that they're disqualified from competing for that franchise agreement. And that's the leverage that the council has. That is what the council must require of the administration as it moves into this process. And all of your listeners who care about this issue, let your council member know that they expect that this council will only pass an authorizing resolution that protects the rights of working people and specifically does the right thing for these striking workers.
What about advocating for a co-op of these workers to actually get the franchise and be darned Spectrum?
You know, whether or not Local 3 or some other organization or entity wants to compete for this franchise agreement, you know, ordinarily what happens in these things is it's taken for granted that the current franchise holder will get the next franchise. And you know, one of the, I don't know if it was Troy or Ray, one of them mentioned that the word stability or tranquility, that would be the norm if Charter had respected the norm of entering into a good faith labor negotiation. But now they've broken that norm now. So I think the city has to very, very seriously and start from the default assumption that an entity other than Charter, other than Spectrum, is going to get this franchise, because Charter Spectrum has demonstrated that they're unwilling to treat their workers fairly. And then lastly, you at the very beginning of the show, you mentioned the issue of a so-called public option. That is something that really does need to be explored, because put aside for a moment the issue with the workers not being treated right. How is it that there are a million New Yorkers who don't have access to broadband in 2020? That's completely unacceptable.
Troy, we've got just a minute or two left. Tell us what your next step is and let people know how to get in contact with you to help support your struggle.
Well, the biggest thing we're doing right now is, Mr. Lansman just talked about it, the public option. We have one company that's in place that's blocking for the service we want to the customers who need it and providing poor service in between. So the public option gives the access to, we want to have 1 million New Yorkers own the cable company. Unlike the cable company who needs billions of dollars in order to feed their pockets, a regular working New Yorker will be happy with owning a mom and pop store that makes them maybe $5,000 or $10,000 a year. What if that cable company happens to be the cable company for New York City? And not only doing that, providing for these people, we can provide a better quality service at lower rates guaranteed, where we own the system and we don't have to worry about one big corporation coming in and using their greed to push out people and customers over and over again like they are now.
So we just, in the minute or so that we have left, council member, we're going to call you and other council members to say exactly what message, and then Troy or Ray, you take us out with quickly what it is, again, to be done. Council member?
If Spectrum doesn't do the right thing by its workers between now and July and make amends for the harm that's been caused, I can't see any scenario where Spectrum would continue to have this valuable franchise.
And so we're going to call all of our council people and tell them that they must support the striking, now 1,000 days and counting, Spectrum workers, the members of Local 3, IBEW, Troy, Ray, in 30 seconds apiece, the last word.
Real quickly, I just want to say, Lanceman, thank you, and all the other people who came out to support us, but they can't be the only one. You have some people who have never said a word about us during our strike. Where is Senator Schumer? Gillibrand was on a major stage at a presidential debate. Why didn't they say anything about our strike and it's in their town?
What about AOC? The mayor? The mayor has been very absent in our struggle. The governor he's been helpful, but he could be more helpful in, you know, leaning on this corporation. We think that would be great. We would also be in favor of a municipal option as well, and or a public option, as long as they take it away from corporations and we can have some accountability either to other people or at least to elected officials.
And if you go to unplugspectrum.com, that's unplugspectrum.com is the best way that you can go sign the petition and sign up for the options that we have to try to move this forward.
And so we can't go out without a chant, brothers.
Oh, you always mess up on that.
Oh, you always mess up. And Councilmember, you can join in this. Come on, which one are we going to give? One, two, three.
Hey, hey, ho, ho. Spectrum's got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho. Spectrum's got to go. Hey, ho. Hey, hey. Ho, ho. Spectrum's got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho.
Spectrum's got to go.
Well, and they are. And Councilmember Rory Lansman, thank you for your work. Thank you for being
you,
a member of the
Councilman.
Working class and a strong advocate and supporter for it, and for all that you're doing in response to the Spectrum Cable Company and supporting our strikers. And what can I say, Troy Walcott, Ray Reyes, you
working
know, we've
heroes.
Known you for years. You
heroes.
Are my
thank you.
Heroes. You
your
absolutely
is, your
are.
Your support means a lot. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank the next you. Rally, there's a rally we're going to support on January 8th, the Take It Back rally. We're going to be there as well trying to support those workers.
And where is that?
It's 512 7th Avenue is Take It Back.
January 8th at 4 p.m.
Yeah. All right. We're going to see everybody there. Spectrum Cable Strikers at the three-year mark. Well, they're going to be demonstrating to form a public option to take over the cable franchise, or we're going to tell Spectrum we're canceling. We're going to all cancel our subscriptions.
Cancel
That's something
Spectrum.
Else we can do. And thank you. And for the new year, we've got to bring you back with a just contract and or a public option. Or a cooperative
yes.
that does the franchise work.
That would yes. be wonderful.
Thank you, okay. Ken. Thank you, Mimi.
Thank you.
It's
you
been our
we
pleasure, and thank you all for supporting this incomparably important pro-working class, labor-friendly, labor-oriented station. And I think we've got some other friendlies to talk about now, because the tenant-friendly Metropolitan Council on Housing, who sponsors Housing Notebook with Scott Somer, is about to come up. And we are the champions of the working class. Don't forget that and continue to support WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. For Building Bridges, I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash, reminding you to listen to Mimi on Thursday mornings from 9 to 10 p.m.
Thanks. Scott Somer, up next.
And restated Pacifica bylaws amendments have been proposed and may now be found on the Foundation's website at www.pacifica.org for review and have been voted on by the Pacifica National Board and are to be voted on by the station delegates followed by a membership vote. The fog of white